Infernomatic Productions.
Are you ready?
Live from the Metal Mayhem Studios in Rochester, New York.
We are gold.
And heard around the world by metalheads just like you. This is Metal Mayhem ROC.
Heavy metal music.
Your weekly dose of metal music, interviews, album reviews, news, and more.
Want to be part of the show?
Send us a message through our website, metalmayhemroc.com, or hit us up on Facebook and Twitter.
Search Metal Mayhem ROC.
It's getting nice and heavy.
And now, welcome tonight's host, John the Vernomatic Verno.
Good evening, everybody. Hope everyone's doing well as we pivot into springtime, as we enter April. As always, new content drops every Thursday night. Tonight's episode, we have Nasty Ronnie Galletti, also known as Nasty Ronnie, from legendary Tampa metal band Nasty Savage. Metal Mayhem ROC correspondents Southern Cal and Bill the Rager had a chance to catch the band recently in Orlando, Florida. So Bill and Cal are going to join me and Ronnie in a couple minutes, and we're going to discuss that show, what Nasty Savage is up to in 2023, and as always, take a walk down heavy metal memory lane. It's coming up with just a second, but first, wanted to share some exciting news here at Metal Mayhem ROC. We've been offered and accepted an invite to join Pantheon Podcasts. Now you're asking, what is that, Vernomatic? Only the world's biggest music podcast network. It's invite only, and it's all music podcasts. We have something for everyone here. History podcasts, interviews, stories, commentary, news, reviews. There's about 60 or 70 podcasts up there. It's totally cool, and we're very honored to be part of this club. So again, that's Pantheon Podcasts. You can go to pantheonpodcast.com to get more information. And we'll have direct links on our website soon. Speaking of our website, we invite you to get up there and join our community by signing up for our weekly newsletter. This is our chance to give you updates on new podcasts, reminders for our Monday Night Live radio show on Metal Devastation Radio, get involved with contests and giveaways. Staff reviewer Mark Zagatti has CD blog reviews. We do reviews of all the shows we go to. Just recently, I have a fresh review for the Striper show from last weekend, the Vixen set. Cal and Bill, the Rager, have a review of that Nasty Savage show. Metal Walt's going to shows every other day. He's getting reviews up there. So again, get up to the MetalMayhemROC.com website. While you're there, download some past shows. Recently, we had Legions of Doom. That's that tribute band to the late, great Eric Wagner of Trouble. Couple guys from Trouble and Corrosion of Conformity have gotten together to do a tribute tour this spring and summer. And we had Bobby Gustafson from Overkill and Violence and Satan's Taint. He was on talking about his brand in 2023. So again, do us a favor, get up to that website and join our community. Joining our community right now is my two rivet head friends, Bill the Rager and Southern Cal. What's up, fellas? How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Good, good. So tonight we have Nasty Ronnie from Nasty Savage. You two cats had a chance to see him late March up in Orlando, Florida. Bill, you lived in Tampa where the band is from, and you have a long history seeing the band. What'd you take out of this interview?
My favorite part was when he talked about the Tardy brothers coming to his house when they were kids, asking him how to start a band.
Yeah, yeah, that's awesome. You know, uncovering those stories that you could never even, you couldn't make this shit up.
All right.
We're not going to give all of it away, but in the interview, he shares a lot of those reflections. Cal, what'd you get out of this? Because you had a chance to see the band for the first time.
Yeah, and Ronnie, he's the same on stage as he is off stage. He's just out there preaching it, living it. Making the most of it. And that's exactly what he said to everybody on stage at the show. That's what I took out of it. What you see is what you get. And he doesn't compromise or try to change things or hide things. That's Ronnie right there. The legendary Nasty Ronnie Galletti.
All right. Well, that's what we got tonight. It's great to get both of Cal and Bill the Rager on here as we, you know, dig up some of our old favorite, you know, underground metal guys. That's what we do here. For Bill the Rager in Southern Cal, I'm the Vernomatic. This is Metal Mayhem ROC.
This is Nasty Ronnie from Nasty Savage here on Metal Mayhem ROC with Vernomatic, Southern Cal, and Bill the Rager. It's coming at you right now. Nasty Savage in the house.
So let's get the nasty one in live from Florida. Nasty Ronnie of Nasty Savage. Hey, Ron, thanks for joining Metal Mayhem. How are you, man?
Man, it's good to be here on Metal Mayhem with you guys. You're doing a great job. I'm excited to be here.
Excellent, excellent. I dug up some rivet heads to spend the day with us up here. They happen to both be in Florida. The first cat goes by the name of Southern Cal.
Ronnie, hello, and thank you for joining us today.
What's up, Cal? Were you at the show last week?
I was. I'm over in Melbourne, Florida.
Okay, cool. I met you over there.
Yep.
Our other rivet head goes by the name of Bill the Rager, and he has a long history with you, Ron. Why don't you two say hello?
Hey, Ron. How's it going? It's Bill the Rager. I'm currently in Melbourne, but I was a former Tampa resident back in the 90s.
Cool, man. So you probably saw a show or two here in Tampa Bay, Nasty Savage?
I sure did, back in the day, yes.
Awesome. We play here lately, maybe just one or two times a year, so not a lot.
Hey, that's better than never, man.
Yeah, it's whatever we kind of want to. I just call the brass bug and they get us a gig, they get us a date, but I don't want to overdo it.
Right on.
So you rivet heads out there listening, a lot of you are familiar with Nasty Savage, but some of you are like, hey, who are these guys? Well, they go back to the mid-80s. They come from Tampa, Florida. Couple kick-ass three or four albums in the 80s, took a break, and now they're back. So, Ronnie, congratulations on what you've done in your career. You know, it's been 35, 40 years, but, you know, we haven't forgotten. Well, some of these turnouts, we're seeing a lot of kids at these shows.
But, you know, it's really good for, you know, a show like this to educate people on metal and, you know, not forget where we come from. You know, Nasty Savage is a band that inspired bands like Obituary, Deicide, Morbid Angel, Death, and the list goes on and on, you know, and because back from Brandon, Florida was a place that at one time was the heavy metal capital of the world. I mean, Sabotage was around, and after we recorded in Sound Studios, people came from all over the world just to record there, and a guy named Scott Burns turned into a guru producer. When we recorded there, he was an assistant, you know, to Jim Morris. And, you know, he turned into just this mega producer that with respect from all over the world on death metal. And, you know, it's really cool to be able to, you know, get the respect and the props from guys like that who remember where they come from, remember seeing the mayhem on stage, and then they took it to a whole nother level. And you're right. There's old time thrash is coming out, but what's really cool is dad is bringing the son, and we have generations of metalheads that are, and I'll pull them on stage and I'll make a statement with them, man. I'll testify because, that's unbelievable when we travel around the country and the world and there's generations, there's fathers and sons, there's daughters and, you know, and mothers even or dads. It really says a lot about the state of heavy metal, and you can't judge a book by its cover.
Cal, why don't you share your input on the Melbourne show with the two kids from Jacksonville that you met?
Well, right before I had introduced myself to you at the end of the show.
Wait, hold on. You talked about it. So it was in, where was that?
Orlando.
Yeah, it was Orlando, Winter Park. Okay.
Winter Park at the Conduit, the new Conduit.
Yeah.
Great place. Right before I talked to you, you were talking to those two kids, and we had met them and talked to them before the show going in. And they were had driven down from Jacksonville, Florida, up front for the whole show, singing the words. You were throwing the mic down to them for the chorus. I mean, that's just the, like you said, that's the future of heavy metal right there. It was nice to see some young kids in there. You know, I believe they were probably 18, 19 years old, so brought me back to my youth, you know, back in the 80s. So it was great to see. And you were preaching the metal that night, and it was great. It was great to hear.
Well, you know, I think if you're smart in doing this business and we've lasted this long, we got to throw some knowledge out there and let people know what time of day it is, you know, and just kind of relate to the people. You know, back in the 80s, I was singing a lot about thunder and lightning and metal and posers and kicking ass and fighting and shit. But as you grow older, your music might change a little bit, but also your lyrical content and maybe a message. And where it's always been in an abstract form of reality and adversity and, you know, mankind issues, when you get a chance to speak to a crowd and you have a chance to make a difference, or at least send them home with an entertainment factor, but also a knowledge factor. I think it's very important to let people know that, man, let's have fun tonight. Let's celebrate because we're in this together. You're nowhere else but here. Let's have the time of our life. I'll take you on a trip. I'll take you on a trip and I'll burn images in your brain that will last forever.
Yeah, I got a nice picture I'm going to have blown up of you when you were looking through the TV screen, or what was left of it, let's say, of that little Samsung that you destroyed on stage.
Yeah, man, it's an exciting feeling when you're on stage. And, you know, I just try to take people on a trip, but it's the music that does it. So if it wasn't for the music, I wouldn't do my crazy shit. But the music it's kind of hypnotic to me, and you just got to get into it, you know. And I just kind of take people on a trip, but it's very real, you know. And I'm not saying it's the greatest thing in the world. It's just something I do, you know. And I think it reflects to people who can maybe say, damn, that's a little different than the last bands I saw. And it's all good. All metal's good. All music is good. It's when you have the stage, it's what you do with it. You know, in the old days, Jerry Lee Lewis, Little Richard, Elvis, or Johnny Cash would share the same stage. I mean, they would share the same stage on these little tours. And like Little Richard would get off the stage, go to the top bat, and then Jerry Lee Lewis would burn his piano down, you know, because he had the stage. And then Elvis and, you know, Johnny. So when you have the stage, all I'm saying is make the most of it, you know. That's yours while you have it. And I pity the people who have to go after us, not only for the mess, but for the pure mayhem.
Right.
Ron, let's talk to music. 2023, had a review of the show. Unfortunately, I wasn't there. You played a new instrumental. Is this a new band that was playing tonight? Is there new material, or are you just doing these one-offs?
Well, a good question, because, you know, it's always that gold in every band to write new material, to do something with it, to be productive, to produce. And that's kind of where we're at right now. We've been jamming with the same guys for a while. Dave Austin just left the band after our last show in Mexico City 8 months ago, and he was just kind of burnt out. And so he took a hiatus, but to me, it wasn't the end of Nasty Savage. It's not the end. So I said, I still have some more in me. And at the time, we were working on some new songs. And one of them was when we played. So the guys learned that one. And we're working on about three or four other ones for a new demo. There's, you know, plenty of labels that are interested in hearing it. Who knows what kind of business we'll be able to do. But the song we played was called The Sixth Finger, you know, so it's just like typical Nasty Savage, progressive and complex, fast, slow, you know. It's just that in that groove, you know. And I told the new guys, I said, look, it doesn't matter we don't have to sound like the 80s Nasty Savage. It's 2023 here. Let's create a vibe that we can all live with, and, you know, that we want to do. We're not doing it for anybody else but ourselves, and we never have conformed anything. So you know, it's just, man, let's create some badass stuff, you know, and that's where we're at. We wanted to get through this gig and then move on. And now we're writing some new stuff. The new guitarist is a real, thrasher, and he rips, you know, he's a shredder, what I wanted to say, David Orman. And, you know, Pete has been there for a while. He's been with us for years. And our bass player, Scotty Carino, you know, he used to play with Death. He was on one of their albums. And Jim Coker was in Brutality, and he's been our drummer for years now. So since Curtis left. So, yeah, we're really, you know, I say I'm in the fourth quarter of life, so we might as well do something with it. You know, it's like Picasso in his older days, man, he was producing more and more and more and more and more, you know, as he was getting older and older and going to die, you know. So we're not going to sit around and, you know, I do a lot of other stuff in life, you know, family, business, all kinds of other stuff. I'm a kind of an entrepreneur, but you can't forget your roots in heavy metal because, you know, like you said, it's been 35, 40 years still doing it, man. You got to thank God for that. You got to thank your fans for that.
Oh, sure. We all have lives and careers, but we're all connected by this love of metal. Bill, you got the stories from living in Tampa all those years, and you reconnected with Jim, the drummer, at the show. Now, you had a chance to see Nasty Savage a lot throughout those years. How did last weekend's Orlando show differ from some of the older Nasty Savage shows? And can you share some of your memories with all of us with those old Tampa shows?
Yeah, I mean, that was killer. And it was good to see Jim playing the drums there, man. He was kicking it. And yeah, back in the day, I saw you guys in one of those Brass Mug shows. It was a reunion gig of sorts at the time. We weren't officially together at the time, I don't think. And yeah, this show was comparable for sure. I'd have to say one of my favorite shows, though, was when you guys played 2004. There was a metal fest in St. Pete. I don't know if you remember that. There's a whole bunch of different bands. Obituary, Deicide, Testament. Oh, I think even Body Count played.
Yeah.
Yeah, you guys killed it that night. That was a really good show. I think Raven played too, even. But this was my first time. Last week was the first time I saw you since that show. And I think the 2004 gig, you had everybody original. What or am I mistaken? Except, Richard Bateman, unfortunately, has passed on since then. But I think he was playing bass then. I was in a band with Richard for about a year in 98 with him and Richard Burnell from Morbid Angel.
What band was that?
We were called Swollen.
Wow, Richard jammed with so many people, man. He was such an unbelievable person, father, husband, friend, or anybody who knew him. He was just a kind soul, man. And what a
he really was. He was.
I always admired Richard. Yeah, we did that tour, 60 shows in 65 days with DRI and Sick of It All across America. And Richard, you know, sometimes with bands, we'd be in the middle of a big fight or bullshit with our manager back in Tampa, you know, with Adrian, Curtis's dad. Or we'd be just, you know, Richard would go, it's cool. Everything's going to be fine. You know, he was just always the mellow guy, you know, but man, he could kick ass on stage, man. If you had a opportunity to jam with him, that was really precious moments, bro. Really.
Absolutely. He was a great dude. Yeah, he was always a mediator because there was times that things got tense in our band room and he would always be the guy to step in and cool everybody off.
You know, and I really always appreciate the love he had for his wife and always thinking about her and called her, you know, and really was just a stand-up guy, you know, just a kind. Yeah. The best way to categorize Richard is a kind soul that was badass motherfucker on a bass, you know, that just a really kind, great dude that was very talented beyond belief.
Absolutely. I agree.
Ronnie, last fall we had a chance to catch up with Dave Overkill from Destructor.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he had some kind words about the scene back in the day. Now, you're in Tampa. You know, we jokingly call it swamp metal, But, you know, like you said, Savatage, Obituary. What about some of the your Metal Blade fellow bands at the time? Was there a community within the musicians that us fans always held these bands as our friends? Was it really like that for in the metal community as musicians?
You know, we used to trade tapes with people like Caton from Hyrax. We traded tapes a lot. We were out there pushing at marketing and, you know, media guys. We'd meet a lot of people that way. But the guys, what maybe through Metal Blade, were Halsey, because they're from Georgia. Remember, we went up and played with Slayer at Labor one time, and went in the early days when we first started out. Was played at CBGBs and stuff, but not really, because the East Coast West Coast thing, it kind of stayed in our own turf. And you know, it seemed to me like the guys on the West Coast were in their own world, and we were kind of just trying to survive. And guys like Dave from Destructor and those guys were just middle of America kind of hardcore blue collar guys that were just down to earth guys. When everybody we met, when we meet them, it's always cool. But it's just the people you stay in touch with is very few and far between, you know. And you just cherish the moments when you get a chance to be around people. And like I said, when you have the stage, that's when you show them who you are and what we're all about. And that's the coolest thing, man, because when you go on stage, it's like, yeah, man, this is who we are. It's all we have. It's who we are, you know?
Cal, what did you pull out of that show last week in your remembrance of growing up with Nasty Savage?
Well, first of all, it sucks that that's the first time that I've gotten to see Nasty Savage. One of my more favorite bands. Thank God I saw that you guys were playing there. It was by mistake, actually, that I saw it. And, you know, I called Bill the Rager. I said, dude, we got to go. Yeah. It was great. It was everything I expected, from the theatrics to the, like, Ronnie, the preacher, to Ronnie, kind of the semi-pro wrestler with the TVs, Ronnie talking with the fans and the band. That Sixth Finger song, fucking jammed. What a face melter that was. Totally sick song. Looking forward to some new stuff, obviously. I was just psyched. You played all the songs I liked, some of the newer stuff in there, the later on stuff. It was just totally impressed and loved it. The legendary Ronnie, Nasty Ronnie.
Like I said, you don't know when's going to be your last show, so you better give it 100% every time, whether there's 50 people, 100 people, or 5,000 people, you know. There wasn't a ton of people. There's probably 100 people at that there. For some reason, I think they let us down on some of the promotion. I got there, and on the front windows, they had all these posters of bands coming, and there wasn't one for Nasty Savage. What the hell? You know, it's like, damn. Vader was playing the next night, and so that's a pretty big band coming to town. And, you know, it's hard for the metal fans. They have to make a choice. So I figured the people who made that choice to come here tonight when we played deserve 110%, you know. And so that's, I loved it. You'd mentioned the young kids, and, you know, that was really cool when you could inspire younger musicians or younger metal fans to go out and try to meet the next band and try to talk to them and learn and, you know, and show their knowledge, you know. So you got to give the time to people, and you just have to, because that's metal's more real than anything I could think of, besides biker. You know, that's what I love about what I do. It's a parallel of reality, of real people. And if you can make someone's day, you know, I mean, damn, they took the time to be there, you know, to get ready, to put the studs on, or, you know, whatever it may be. They paid the ticket price. They were in the room. And we have to share those great moments together, man. And I just hope that when they left, they felt a little special, because they were special to be part of that show.
You talk about memories. We have a listener question. Seth Voorhees of Rochester, New York asks, or actually comments, Nasty Savage, fucking love the band. I saw them most recently in Houston in 2018. Christ, I still have a piece of the TV in my office. Houston, Texas, James Rivera, Hellstar. Do you remember this show and do you remember Seth?
Yeah. You know, we played a couple of shows in Texas, San Antonio, Houston, and I think it was three shows, maybe just the two. And it was a smaller room. And then the guy again in San Antonio is this big metal fest. It turned out to be not a big metal fest. You know, and talk about James Rivera. That dude is like timeless, man. He's a vampire, you know. He's amazing. He's a part of metal history and Texas history. And when you talk about Texas, man, I mean, that's one of the places we got our start. We did a demo tape tour of Texas before we even got signed to Metal Blade Records because of KPFT in Houston and KISS in San Antonio actually sent a reel-to-reel tape to Metal Blade and said, you need to sign these guys. But, you know, I love to smash a TV, but I love to give out the parts to people. They don't expect it. I start breaking it up and handing it to them. They go, oh, shit. You know, European people love that. Germans. Oh, man. And it's just the look on their faces when they get a little prize. You know, it's like sort of like Cracker Jacks, man. You go, you get a prize, too. It's like dinner and a show. And
I have my piece up on my wall.
Yeah. And now I'm into giving out flowers and always bring a few bouquets of flowers and make the promoters get them because the TV, it's like a bullfighter, you know, it's the bullfighter messes with the bull with the cape and stuff and the whole time, but you know what's going to happen at the end of the bull. It's going to get sacrificed, you know, or in the name of the game, whatever, kind of brutal. So with the TV set, I start from the get-go trying to work with it, talk to it, pull it around like a little wagon. Or, you know, I get the people to follow this thing that's happening and this other object that's on the stage. And why is it there? What is he doing to it? He's talking. He's looking. It's not coming on. You know, he's dragging it by the tail around. And the remotes, if I have them, I try to turn them on and off and on and off and on and off. You know, so... You know, it's like, but we do the morgue. And when I talk about the morgue, it's a message to the kids and people that if you're not talking to someone in your life, man, make the call to them because no one's perfect. And if it's our mom or dad or we're not spending time or you know someone who's really having a hard time and might be thinking suicide, reach out to them, people. Reach out and make a difference in a life because if not, you might see him in the morgue, you know, and that's one of our songs. So the morgue starts, I put the skull mask on, and then I can act out tragedy. When you put a mask on, you can act that out, and you can hide behind the mask, but you can show your true emotions, or you could play out any emotion you want. So I choose tragedy, sadness, bring the people into that. Then I'll take the flowers, and I'll start pulling little petals off and throwing them on the TV, like I'm, you know, like it's a memorial. And then I start ripping them off and then I start throwing them down. And I just start raging at this TV set, but it could be anything in life that I'm raging about. So it's leading up. It's all leading up. It's storytelling at its finest if you follow that. So that's what I've refined that through the years. And it's now at an older age of mine, I really appreciate it and like. Very passionate about telling that story and taking people like, what is he doing? The flowers are because of, you know, let him figure it out. But at the end, there's flowers and pedestals, glass and smash TVs. And it's just this exotic, weird looking, surreal, like a Dolly thing. It's just shit's all over the place. Blood. People have stuff, you know, they're like, what the hell do we just see? God damn, I can't wait to tell my mom about this shit. So that's where we're at with that, you know. Then I take the mask off and I go back to the next thing, and maybe it's Unchained Angel. So I'll pull out a chain, and then I'll smash the chain across the TV, and I'll rip it across my forehead, or I'll rip it around the guys' heads and thrash with them, and I'll get everybody involved if I can, you know. It's just a part of the night that we've got to do more than just sit up there and strum a guitar and sing in a microphone.
Where did the TV originate from? Why a TV?
Well, it's a good question. It's a good question. And you know, I was always inspired by Wendy O. Williams and the Plasmatics. You know, Wendy would saw guitars in half. She would smash TV sets with a sledgehammer. She would drive Cadillacs into a pool. But she was really anti-establishment and all that. So I kind of got it from there. And I was infatuated with the Plasmatics because the impact, the wow factor shit, you know, the Wendy O. Williams. I started writing to her and I got to meet her. And she actually plugged her first album on this metal show she was doing, like on MTV or something. And she promoted Nasty Savage. So when I went to CBGB's, I was sitting there and the owner goes, "Are you Ron?" I go, "Yes, sir." He goes, "I've got a telegram for you from Wendy Williams." And it was a telegram from Wendy saying, "Hey, I'm sorry, Nasty. I can't be there tonight at CBGB's, but I'll be tomorrow at L'Amour." So I said, "Oh, cool. Awesome. That's cool. I still have it." So I get to L'Amour and we get off stage, right? And I go in Slayer's dressing room. I was all bloody and shit, of course. I go in the Slayer's dressing room and I asked him, I go, "Hey, man, you think I could take a shower?" Because we're in this dressing room in the basement with no shower or nothing. And they go, "Hell no, you can't, man. Like, no way. Get out of here." They were really dicks, you know, back then. I was like, "Oh, okay, thanks." And I left. And then they went on stage, so I went in there dressed in her bed. I took a shower. And then Wendy came in there. So here I am in a towel or something, and Wendy Williams comes in, and we kind of hung out for a while. We hung out long enough where Slayer came back to their dressing room, and me and Wendy are sitting there in their dressing room. They go, "Hey, what the fuck?" They go, "Hey, it's Wendy." And she goes, "Hey, boys." She goes, "Well, I'm here to see Nasty Ronnie." She goes, "Come on, Ron." And we walked out. So you know, it was kind of cool. But the TV started from our very first show. I think I smashed it with a sledgehammer. But I just kept using it more and more and refined it to write last Friday night to my last chapter with the TV set until the next one, you know. So it's every time it's the part of that theatrics that I like to do, but you know, I've never really been injured from a TV set, except in Mexico, I had a piece of glass go into my leg, a real thick slab of glass, the size of about a dime thick, though, went right into my leg. And I didn't get it up like a couple of weeks when I got back to Florida. I said, "Man, something's in my leg, man." So I have a doctor bill still from that one. But, it was painful because I had to cut it back open and pull it out. But, it's just something I've always done. And that's how it started, though, with Wendy O. Williams back in the day. But on a side note, when I was at L'Amour, Billy Milano was there from M.O.D. S.O.D. And he did an interview in Metal Forces magazine, a couple of weeks later. And they said something about, I don't know, they're talking about how tough he was or some shit. And he goes, "Yeah," he goes, "I'm not a fake like that Nasty Ronnie guy. He smashes fake TVs and shit." Then he goes, "I can kick his ass in 10 seconds. I'm like, "Oh, shit." So, of course, the media reaches out to me, going, Nasty Ronnie, this is what, because it's a European, he goes, "This is what Billy Milano says. What would you like to say back?" I said, "Well," I go, "tell Billy when I see him, I'll have my stopwatch and we'll see if he can beat my ass in 10 seconds. So we go back to New York and we're playing in New Jersey and I see Billy Milano. I'm on stage and I see him walking around the club. I'm like, "Oh, shit." Then this is where I'm playing. I started looking for him and I was just bird dogging every person in the whole place. Then I saw him. The bowling ball, big motherfucker, big motherfucking dude, really stocky and shit, big chest. Yeah. I'm like, "Oh shit, there he is. I'm fucking Italian Nasty Ronnie. I don't give a fuck." So I saw him go into the bathroom. So I waited 10, 9, 8, 7, and I go in the bathroom. He's in there taking a leak. So I walk in, I put my hand behind his head and push his face right into the wall. You know, while you're taking a leak, you're pretty vulnerable. So I had his head right up there. I pushed it off and I go, "Hey, Billy, it's Nasty Ronnie. And I brought my stopwatch." He goes, Oh, man. He goes, "I didn't." I go, "I was having a real bad time at the time and this and that." And I was like, "Oh, man." I was like, "Oh, good. Then we don't really have to fight." I'm thinking that. But I was like, "Yeah, come on, brother. Let's go." the bass player, Richard Bateman was in there at the time. So was Dan Lenker from Nuclear Assault. And Richard used to tell that story. Oh, man, I would love for Richard, because that's a third person telling it, not me. And he would tell that story so good. But since then, you know, we became friends. And, you know, I was glad we didn't really fight, but I had to stand up for my name, you know what I'm saying?
Guys, you can help me on this. Wendy O. Williams is from our hometown. We're all originally from Rochester, New York.
She's from Rochester, yes. I was going to say that. So is Dan Lilker lives in Rochester as well.
Dan, I just saw them because we played the Carolina Chainsaw Massacre. Nuclear Assault played after us, and then two other bands played after us. So you could imagine how fired up I was when there's three bands playing after Nasty Savage. I was like, oh, shit. So it was like, I remember seeing they were right on the edge of the stage in the back watching, and I could tell they were like going, hey, boys, we got to step up our game tonight because yeah. Look at this motherfucker's doing. You know, so it was like that Elvis, Little Richard, Johnny Cash shit. And that's what makes music happen. That's what makes heavy metal happen. And that's what brings people together and to give it their all for the fans. So it was really great to be able to see Dan and talk to him. What a great guy he was. But Wendy O. Williams, getting back to her, she used to send me letters and stuff. And I've got postcards from her. And you know, we had a good relationship. And she was very inspired. She was really smart and way ahead of her time. And it's unfortunate she's no longer with us, but she left her mark, you know, and she didn't take any shit off anybody. Actually, I produced this movie. I was a creative producer of a movie called Nation's Fire a couple of years ago. We filmed it in L.A. And Gloria Nation, which is a friend of mine, Chris DeGrotti, who funded the movie, $1.5 million. We filmed in L.A. for 25 days in Burbank in the studios up in the Hollywood Hills. Bruce Dern was in the movie. Gil Bellows from Shawshank Redemption, and also Chuck Liddell, MMA fighter. Anyway, I was telling Kristen, I said, Kristen, you got to do a story. You got to do a movie on Wendy O. Williams. You know, even if it's a day in the life of Wendy O., this girl, Krista, would be perfect for her. She looks just like her, same body, same fitness. But Wendy O. is just so amazing. I got to meet her a few times and played Gainesville one time. I got to meet her backstage. She gave me a copy of her Metal Priestess album, signed it for me. That was just part of our relationship. What a smart woman she was, and misguided, I guess, and misjudged. And unfortunately, like I said, she's no longer with us. But you know, the things you do when you're on the road, people you meet—it's only a moment in time. You got to make the most of it every day, like you guys are doing right here on this show. What you're doing for metal to help out bands and let them tell their stories is great.
And I was going to ask you about, you know, I was in a band with Richard Burnell for Morbid Angel, and you said you guys did a show or back in the early days, and I guess a couple of members in Morbid Angel showed up and they had something about a dead cat or something, and I guess you guys got pretty upset about that. Do you remember that incident?
Oh, yeah. Someone just brought that up the other day, but I wasn't upset about it. How I think it started was we were playing at Ruby's Pub back in, I mean, this might be before our album, maybe, you know, maybe our first album was out, but I get to the gig and I'm usually there like right before we go on stage. I would get there, like if we're going on at midnight, I get there at 10 minutes till and just go right on, boom, right on stage. So I get there and Curtis, the drummer, was out back on behind the bar where I parked at. And these three guys were like all around him. And they're like I said, something's not right. I said, Curtis, what's up? He goes, Ronnie. He goes, these guys are fucking with me. I go, well, what's up? He goes, they're trying to get their necklace back. So what it was, I didn't know it at the time, is the three guys were Morbid Angel. And Curtis had Trey's, I guess, necklace, satanic necklace or some kind of shit. And they wanted to get it back. Curtis must have found it. So I go, hey, do you guys want to go swimming? And they go, what? And I looked over there and there's this big ass mud puddle. And they go, ooh. And they went, ooh. And they're like, ooh. And they like, and they conjured away. It was so weird. I swear, I can't describe it. It's almost like a movie how they looked and they went,
and they like scampered away. So the next time we played, the Mayhem, a Thrashers, Headbanger stage, just nonstop, like a wave, just non-stopping. Through this hand comes through the stage, through the crowd, in a little box like you put a baseball in. As of course I open it up, and through the Mayhem, I open it up, and it's a cat head. There's a cat head in there. I go, oh shit. And I pull it up and look at it, and all of a sudden someone took it out of my hand. That was the last time I saw it. It was part of the crowd. But I think it was like the scary message back to Nasty Savage for telling me to get the fuck away from my drummer or some shit. That's all I know about it. But it didn't piss me off. I just thought it was part of the show. But after a while, I kind of put it 1, 2, 3 together and said, oh, I wonder if they did that. And I think they did. So they sacrificed a cat, I think.
Richard wasn't in on that, but yeah, he told me about that. I don't think he remembered the whole part of the necklace part of the story, because he didn't tell me that half of it. But yeah, he told me about the cat. I don't know. I guess afterwards, some people weren't too happy about the cat being sacrificed.
Not too cool. Especially like Donald from Obituary, he has a whole business to help cats, stranded cats. Oh, I mean, he'd be really pissed at that. I just thought it was priceless when I walked up and I said, do you guys want to go swimming? They looked at me and they looked at the water. They all looked at it together, like all their three heads moved at the same time. Look, then they went, it was classic. I thought it was great too. But Curtis wasn't afraid either, man. He'd take them on, but I don't think we ever had any ill will with those guys. Maybe just that one instance. I think they might have got that necklace back.
No, Richard didn't. He said he was definitely influenced by you guys as far as, stepping up their game. And because you guys were, you had a stage show, you were killer musicians, and you made everybody else want to be better musicians,
Yeah, well, we had no one to follow either, man. We had to forge our way. We were doing shit in cow pastures and charging $5 to get in or $3 and, setting up the whole stage. And, we were pioneers, man. And That's all we knew. I mean, we didn't like get on board with somebody to get the crowds or nothing. And although a lot of people did that, we gave everybody a shot. Death played with us 2 or 3 times. They used to come to our practices. They were wearing Nasty Savage shirts all the time, and it was some fun times, but speaking of that, I was at when I lived at home with my mom and dad. One day my mom says, oh, Ron, there's 2 boys at the door. They want to talk to you. And I go, okay. So I go to the door and they go, are you Nasty Ronnie? I go, yeah. He goes, well, we're John and Donald Tardy, and we want to know how to start a band. They were on their bicycles, man. They came to my house. They figured out where I live. That's how smart those dudes are. They came directly to the source of the metal guy that was a marketing metal guru, me, because that's all I knew. Hell, I wasn't really a singer. I just played one on stage. I was a marketing dude. And so I said, dude, I love you guys. I said, let's go to Lithia Springs. And I put him in my car. I had a 70 Chevelle. We went to Lithia Springs, this place here in Tampa, Lithia, outside of Brandon, and we threw the frisbee for like 5 hours, man. I educated them boys, and they never forgot that, and they
that's awesome, man.
They put us in that video, 10,000 Ways to Die or whatever it was. And have you seen that?
Yes.
Didn't you know that they like go to a Savage concert and shit? It was animated. That is over like 5 million views or more. I don't know how many views, but that helped get a lot of new people figuring out what the hell Nasty Savage is.
And that's great.
Then they put out their book. They put out a book. There's a whole chapter of Nasty Savage inspiration and influence. And those guys have been so amazed at their work ethic and Terry Butler, everything he's doing. And just how smart the Tardy boys are. They're just really smart guys. I respect them so much. And I'm proud of those guys, I'm really proud. They turned into a real business, and all the best to those guys. I see them once in a while. And actually, Donald Tardy, he produced our album, Psycho Psycho. So he was the drummer producer, and the guy, Paul Prater, was a drummer producer as well. And
So the drums sound really good. Then I was doing my vocals. I go, oh, that's great. Next, I go, hold on a minute. I want to do another overdub. Well, no, that sounded great. it's really cool to see the progress of, guys who are really dedicated in their field like that. But that's absolutely a great story right there, man. It came to my house on bicycles.
That's awesome.
Ron, do you have any cool stories about Savatage, maybe when they were Avatar or when they turned into Savatage and
Brothers? I remember seeing them when they were called Avatar. And Dan Johnson was the guy who broke them into the business, got him signed to Par Records. And we were always trying to chase him down to sign us. And, I guess we never were good for that because they were just so great musicians. But, man, we used to go to every Savatage show and slam dance up front. Me and Diva Noah, I would slam dance head on into each other. Remember one time we were playing with them at the London Victory Club, and we were going on stage. And, we brought the people and the mayhem, and they'd, always cut our set short or shut the lights off or they'd do something. But there was one time in particular. We're going out of the dressing room, and after we left, John Oliva said something about us, and we heard it, or someone heard it and told me. He goes, "Wait till you see these guys; they're a real joke." He said that. I'm like, "Oh man, I really love John, a great songwriter, musician, and all that." But anyway, those are the kind of stuff because we're just the young guys coming on to them, and they were all establishing shit, and we're from the backyard, We're just young and dumb, We're just doing our shit, crazy stuff. And they were like, they never took us serious. Never. They didn't respect us, I don't think. But they had to respect when the people were there chanting for encores and stuff, and they were coming on next, and they were, they loved them too, but they damn sure loved Nasty Savage. But they were so inspirational. And Chris, what a guitarist, and Keith Collins and all that, those were the days, man. That's what made us who we were. Bands like Savatage. There was another band named Argus that played a lot of British heavy metal, and Stormchild, and they played Sabbath, and they played Angel Witch,
Nice.
So we had bands like that, and then another band called Vengeance was another band that played some heavy stuff, and then we came out. The Savatage days were great, though. That's what made Tampa Bay really what it was. They were the first ones to record at Morris Sound Recording Studio, and we followed after that.
Besides all the Nasty Savage stuff you got going on, you have your BornToRide.com site and also Born to Ride TV magazine. I believe that's on Facebook. Is that correct?
Yeah, Born to Ride. I produced Born to Ride Television for 28 years. It's the longest running biker TV show in the world. Actually, I buy the TV time and I put it on the channel 38 here. It goes out to 14 counties and about 2.5 million homes, cable and non-cable. I produced 1,340 TV episodes, man. Longest running biker show in the world. More than Cops. That's more than The Simpsons. 1,340 TV episodes. And I published Born to Ride magazine in Florida, Georgia, Tennessee, Alabama, North and South Carolina, Tennessee, and Kentucky. So I've been doing that for, 28 years. I just took the TV show off the air, got too expensive, and after COVID, it just got too much to do. So I have a little more time on my hands now, and check out BornToRide.com. We have all of our platforms there. And Born to Ride TV Magazine is our Facebook page. And we have a Born to Ride group as well on Facebook. We have Instagram and all that other stuff too. So we do biker events, promotions, marketing. Right now I'm publishing, the magazine. We do two a month. We do one for the Southeast, one for Florida. So, the biker community, I magnify the greatness of bikers. It's an easy job. Bikers are giving, caring, first responders, veterans, children, veterans, those big charities for bikers year long. So I really enjoy it. I've met some of the greatest people in my life doing the biker thing. But I also have a passion for, I'm in five different antique malls that I have booths in. I go out and I, I buy stuff all the time. I'm always out picking, like American Pickers, Pawn Stars, or Storage War. I'm that guy. I'm buying all the time. I'm selling. And that storage unit, it's full of stuff, man. It's got it in my office. I got it in my garage. I have an addiction, and it's with buying stuff. I always got to go to a flea market, garage sales. I love it, man, because you never know what you're going to find.
Did you make it up to the
things in Daytona this year?
We had some people in Daytona. I didn't go, man. It's almost like you get tired of it because they try to rape you on hotel rooms and take advantage of you. And everybody wants that biker dollar. Then there's a bunch of, I call them ass clowns, people who just are stupid riders and they're not safe and they injure other people by their being a dumbass. And
speaking of that, yeah,
you know, so it's not, it's pretty scary, you know, out there. But
we watched a guy on going in, riding a wheelie with his girlfriend, holding on for dear life on the back. It was a little crazy. We went up for the motocross race. It was nice.
Yeah, I mean, it's great. It's a lot of industry people, but you know, sometimes there's no loyalty. So I'm like, I'd give and give and give, and then nothing in return by covering and magnifying the greatness of these industry people and their products and things, and then they don't advertise. Man, it's painful sometimes doing what we do and being a media guy. Like you guys, you're doing a show, but how many sponsors do you have? How many people really give you money to do it? But they're all going to tell you how you should be doing it. You know, it's a labor of love, man. You got to do what you really like. You know, otherwise, do what's in your heart.
Yeah, and part of it also is you want to help the industry. You know, you're a biker, you go there, you want to help them, you think you'd get it back. But if they don't, then, you know, screw it. But we're going to let you get going. Bill, do you want to say anything to your lost Tampa buddy before we get out of here?
Well, I just want to say it was a pleasure talking to you, and it was great seeing you guys live last week, and we hope to see you again live soon and hear some new music soon as well.
That's cool. You know, reach out to me. I'll put you guys in my phone, make sure I got them, send me an email, and when we're playing again, I'll you know, let you guys know and take care of you guys and, you know, make you a part of the show and have fun with us. You know, we really appreciate awesome. Your support. And, you know, this goes out to Richard Bateman. May he rest in peace. Chris Morehouse is another guy that was that's gone, was another bass player we had. And life is short, guys. You got to make the most of it, you know. You really do. So enjoy yourselves. And thanks again for everything. And then people can go to our site. It's nastysavage.com or Wage of May. On Facebook, it's Nasty Savage Wage of Mayhem. Go there and like it. Let's help us. Matter of fact, that song's on there too. Six Finger is on there, but it's Nasty Savage Wage of Mayhem. Check it out, people, and let me know you heard me here on this radio station. I'll give someone a special prize, maybe a T-shirt or something.
All right, well, Nasty Ronnie, stay nasty, and we'll be talking to you soon.
All right, thanks a lot, guys. Keep up the great work here, man. I really appreciate it.
You too, man. Love you, brother.
All right,
thank you, Ronnie.
All right, brother. Thank you, guys.
Take care.
Metal Mayhem. Take it easy.
Metal for Life.
Thank you for listening to Metal Mayhem ROC. Check out our website at metalmayhemroc.com for information on podcasts, archives, links to all our live radio shows, and all sorts of info. Please like, follow, and share with everyone, even your non-metal friends. And always remember to keep it heavy.